Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the Left of Straight Show. It is Tuesday, July 24th. I am your host, Scott Fullerton. I appreciate y'all tuning in today. If you happen to miss yesterday's show, well, why did you guys? You could always check it out on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, so many great places. So excited yesterday for the first hour we had on Mark Sam Rosenthal and Brian Sloan. They are creators of a new series called West 40s. Its pilot episode is up on YouTube right now. They have five more episodes written and getting ready to be produced for it. But this is a fantastic show about gay men in their 40s living in the West 40s section of Hell's Kitchen. We had a fun interview with them yesterday. And then in our second hour, two of my favorite people on the planet, Brandon and James, came by, the music, singing, and cello duo that just traveled the world with their great music. They had a quick stop yesterday. We were able to talk to them. They have a brand new album they're putting together that we're running a Kickstarter campaign for, or excuse me, an Indiegogo campaign for, actually. And they're going to be performing this weekend at the Dunes Resort near me in Michigan. So great show yesterday. Be sure to check out the podcast today for you. In just a few short minutes, we're going to be talking to Joshua Gonzalez. He is a Broadway boy and a content creator on YouTube with his husband, Matt, doing a show all about sweets, which you know I'm all about. And then in the second hour today, we have the amazing comedian and TV host Guy Branum, who, of course, is the host of Talk Show, The Game Show on True Media, True Channel, whatever that is, True Channel on television. Funny as that game show, and he has a brand new book coming out that we're going to talk all about in the second hour. So, fantastic show today. Let's go ahead and give a big shout out to the sponsors of the show, my media sponsors today. Alexander Rodriguez, of course, from On the Rocks Radio. His show is on just 3 hours after mine every Tuesday. Tonight, he is going to be talking to Steve Grand, who we talked to a couple weeks ago on his new album that's out. And so we'll have a big shout out to Alexander. You can catch him at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on UBN Radio. And also a big thanks to Tony Guadagnino, who does all my shout-outs on social media on Twitter for me. If you need anyone to help you with your social media programming for yourself or your business, look him up on his website, www.tonyguad.com. That's TonyGuad.com. And, of course, we have my buddies over at True FM Media in Columbus. As you know, when I come back from my break on the Big Gay Road Trip, we'll be doing our shows live from the Columbus studios. I've been carrying the show for 2 years now. So we're looking forward to working with them. And then, of course, 1 week from today, we start the Big Gay Road Trip. Mom and I leave next Tuesday from beautiful Northeast Ohio here on our trek to Palm Springs, California, where I'll be doing 8 live shows from the Indulge Resort in Palm Springs, live every Monday and Tuesday, August 6th through August 24th. You will catch us hopefully poolside, but if it's too hot, we may be in my room there. Yesterday, it was 120 degrees in Palm Springs. Yeah, I may melt. So if anything is going to help my weight loss, that's for damn sure. But we're going to be in Palm Springs for 4 weeks. I have some amazing guests coming in, some amazing people that are going to be organizations from Palm Springs, like their LGBT Center and the gay rodeo they have there. I have some special foodies coming in from all over Palm Springs, giving us some of their food to sample. I'll be doing some prizes with the guests. Everyone from Frank DeCaro and Jim Colucci to comedian Tony Tripoli, to comedian Jason Stewart, to our good buddies Blake MacGyver and Emerson Collins from The People's Couch on Bravo and Sorted Lives and so many great things. So many great friends are going to be coming and visiting me in Palm Springs. I can't wait. Alexander Rodriguez, of course, and Nolan Robert. Going to be a fun time had by all. I do have ways where you can help us out. Of course, the resort is taking care of me while I'm there as far as my room. But, you know, the show has no budget, so I'm always looking for help for the travel expenses there and back. So I do have a couple ways you can go. You can go to the website, www.leftofstraight.com. That's LEFTOFSTR and the number 8.com. And you can get our Pride bracelets. You can get a Pride bracelet for just $20, including shipping anywhere in the country. Or we have a special two-week-only GoFundMe page. If you go into GoFundMe.com, look up Big Gay Road Trip, you have a chance to contribute a little bit to help with the gas money expenses across the way, and you can win Big Gay Road Trip T-shirts. You can get Pride bracelets there. You can get postcards from across the country. You can get special gifts from different places there. So check that out. If you can spare 5, 10, 25 bucks, I definitely appreciate it. If you can't, don't do it, because we don't want to have any hardships on anyone. So, but the Big Gay Road Trip is going to start. What you can do for me is share that hashtag, Big Gay Road Trip, with all of your friends. Follow me on social media. When you're going to be leaving next Tuesday and heading first to St. Louis, Missouri, we'll be going to Hamburger Mary's. And on then we'll go to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, where we're going to the Boom Club, where it's a great supper club out there. Then we're going to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Phoenix on our travels to Palm Springs. So there'll be lots of fun and surprises along every inch of the trip. So follow along on social media with the hashtag Big Gay Road Trip. But guys, I'm so excited. Just a couple of seconds, we're going to talk to our first guest, Joshua Gonzalez. So let's go ahead and take a break. I do want to introduce on the boards today, and we'll maybe have him come on at the end of the show. I have my intern we talked about the other day. Good old Sam Corrigan is running the boards for me today, freeing me up so I have hands free here, able to talk to my guests. Him and my other intern, Christina, will be helping one out in Palm Springs, so I don't have to be running the computer and talking to all the guests. So a big shout out to Sam. Sam, go ahead and play us a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to Joshua Gonzalez. You're listening to the Left of Straight Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. We are back. All righty, guys and gals. My first guest today is following his dreams in New York City as an actor who's worked on national tours, regional premieres, including the occasional TV industrial commercial gigs. He's also, together with his husband, Matt, worked his way into my heart with a fantastic YouTube foodie channel called Sweet Husbands that explores some of the yummiest treats in the land and on the sea even. You know that I'm addicted to Broadway and, of course, the food, guys. So I'm so happy to bring you for the first time to the Left of Straight Show. Please welcome Mr. Joshua Gonzalez. Joshua, how you doing, man?
I'm doing so well. Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
You are so welcome. I am so excited to have you. I've been following yours and Matt's channel for quite a while now, and I so rudely interrupted one of your Instagram lives a couple weeks ago when you were making s'mores and said, I got to have you on my program. please come on my program. Thanks for coming on. I'm so happy to talk to you.
I'm happy to talk to you. And thank you so much for all the nice words about everything.
Oh, no worries, man. How's everything in beautiful downtown New York City today?
It's been pretty good. You know, we are in the middle of summer in New York, so the humidity and the heat are out and about, but I'm trying to stay indoors as much as possible.
Smart man. I hear ya. Well, I always like to start at the very beginning for my first-time guest on there. Give me a second and talk to me about growing up. I think you're from Texas, right? What kind of a kid were you, and what got you interested in show business?
So I grew up in a very, very small town of Huntsville, Texas. It's about an hour north of Houston, and there wasn't a lot to do in the town, but, you know, someone had to, like, have after-school activities, and our parents were very much into pushing us into after-school activities, and both my older brothers were trumpet players, and they were in the band. And I decided I didn't want to do that. I wanted to do something else because I was the youngest and I was rebellious. And I was like, no, I make my own choice. So I ended up telling my parents, hey, I'm going to do theater instead of band. And they did not like it at all. But luckily, they let me do me. And that is kind of how it all started.
That is awesome. I love that. And what was your very first production ever?
My very first production was Midsummer Night's Dream at the Huntsville High School, and I played Francis Flute, who is one of the, like, little mechanicals who at the end cross-dresses and does this whole big, funny play with the rest of the little mechanical people.
Nice, nice. I do love that show. That's awesome. So cool. And talk about what is it growing up when did you come out to yourself and talk about growing up in a Texas town, a small Texas town gay? Did you able to realize and become yourself there? Or did you have to wait till you moved to New York?
I actually kind of came like late to the game of even like self-realization. It wasn't until I went to college in Waco, Texas. I went to a private Baptist university, which even probably delayed the like realization for myself. And while there, and I was studying theater, and it was while there I like met more gay people, and like I realized this was a thing, and I started to realize that myself I was maybe gay. And I actually ended up meeting my husband there, and he was also in the theater department at the time. And we had like started dating and like a relationship. And then I realized, oh, wait, this is actually kind of like what I want and like who I am and everything like that. And then from there, it was like a slow coming out process to like our friends at the school. And then, our families, and then we moved to New York, and that's when we really found our community finally, because obviously at a private Baptist university there isn't a large gay community where you can really be yourself and like have all of those just that community that, you know, we want.
Right.
So yeah, it was a very slow, I feel like, kind of late process. My college was Baylor University.
Yeah, that's where my buddy Emerson Collin went to.
Mm.
Emerson studied in theater there. He's a little older than you, though. I think he's like 31, 32. But,
wow.
Yeah, he went to Waco to there, and he was a big part of their theater company, and that's when he first came out, too. That's kind of cool. I like that. We have a little quinky-dink between guests.
I know. Look at that.
Now, what made you guys decide, of all places, move to New York City? That had to be a little intimidating, wasn't it? Or what brought you? What made you guys decide to go there, of all places to go?
Well, me being myself, I was never meant for the small town Texas country life. That very early on, I absolutely hated living where I grew up, with like nothing to do, and I always dreamed about going to the big city. And, of course, given that we were both in the theater and wanted to pursue that more, obviously the mecca of the theater world is in New York City. And I had known a few friends who had moved to the city and showed me that it was a possibility and that it was possible and that you can do that. And so I was like, hey, why not? I'm young. Again, my parents hated the idea, but I've always been a little rebellious of, if they hate it, that's what I'm going to do. And so we went to New York.
That is awesome that you did. Now, talk about your first experience in New York, because New York, man, that's an expensive place. You have paying big bucks for a small little apartment. What was your very first place like when you got there? Are you in the same place, or have you
no,
graduated?
Thankfully, we have graduated. It was insane. Like, our first apartment in New York, I remember going to see it, and I don't think Matt must have been like at work or something, and we had another person who was going to be our roommate, but she actually hadn't even been in the city yet. And I went with a broker to see this tiny little apartment that was in our price range, and he was basically like, hey, I'm showing it to someone right after you, so you basically have to tell me now whether you want it. And so I texted both Matt and our roommate, and I was just like, hey guys, we're getting this one. I'm going to go get all of our money out and just give it to this guy. And then we took it, and we took the apartment, and we only had moved with two suitcases at the time. So we like slept on a pile of laundry for about a week until we got an air mattress. And then we just like, literally that first year was epitome of the starving artist lifestyle until
we
got where we are today.
Well, that's awesome, though, that you have that success story to go from. Because it's a tough city. I've had people that have moved there and had to get the heck out of Dodge. I know a couple people have done that.
Yeah,
but just to be able to stick it out, that is very cool. That's good. And you guys are, I remember watching on your social media, you guys are hoping for a new place now. That's just such a weird thing to me that you actually have to go through all these brokers and you almost have to apply to get on a waiting list to go to other apartments. That's a whole weird system.
How
did you guys negotiate that?
I mean, the entire real estate system in New York is unlike any other place, I think, in the world. And it's so competitive and it's so crazy and the apartments are so expensive and you have to have like incredible qualifications. And right now we're actually in the middle of a lottery process where basically these really nice, really awesome apartments, a few of them in every of these nice buildings are given away at basically a discount so the buildings can get a huge tax break. And I unfortunately can't go into too much of it right now because we're still in the middle of it. And every day there's a new roller coaster ride regarding it. But we're almost done with it. And either way, we'll know soon whether or not we got the apartment. Hopefully we did, but we don't know. And that's just one of my favorite things about the city is everything in your life can change in a second, and whether that's for the better or for the worse. And for some reason, that is something that I still love about the city. Even if it is for the worse, it's still, there's that opportunity that your life could be forever changed in a huge way in an instant. And I like that.
That is very cool. And what was your first official paying gig once you moved to the city as an actor?
As an actor, my first paying gig was touring with a children's theater show called Skippy John Jones. And it was an amazing experience. I got to tour the entire West Coast in like middle America, and I had never been there before. We started like in Arizona, and then we went to Las Vegas, and then we went to LA, and then we went up the West Coast. And it was just, I had the time of my life, and I was getting to perform this show that was all about like Latinos, and the entire cast were Latinos. And the storyline, it's based on a very popular children's book called Skippy John Jones. And to summarize the story, it's basically a Siamese cat, Skippy John Jones, who I played, who wants to be a Chihuahua, and so he literally goes into the closet and has all of these wonderful, fantastical adventures as a Chihuahua, and then at the end of the show, he comes out of the closet, and his mom is, like, kind of mad at him, and he has to tell his mom that he wants to be a Chihuahua. So I think there's a lot of parallels there with, you know,
wow,
the LGBT experience and things like that. And so just to get to perform that for kids all around the country was just so cool. And I really loved it.
That's fantastic. And I'm sure you've worked on all kinds of projects, obviously. But talk about how important it is to you or meaningful that you're able to work on gigs like that that incorporate your proud Latin heritage and your LGBT community. That's got to be kind of amazing.
It's the best. I mean, you know, when you're an actor, all you want is a job, and like kind of any job will do because, you know, there's few and far between. So you have to take what you can get in order to like pay your bills or to go up in your career or to do whatever. But when you get to work on those jobs and perform those characters that are so meaningful to you and tell a part of your story as well, and being Hispanic, Mexican American, and being LGBT, those stories hadn't been told. Now we're seeing them told so much more, but before, you know, we haven't heard those stories very much, especially the combining of the two of Hispanic and LGBT. And I've been very fortunate enough to work on a very good amount of those projects that tell those stories. And that is where it really is not a job. It's something that I to do and I could do forever. And it feels like I'm on vacation. And a few times I've gotten to meet audience members afterwards, and I've gotten to hear these stories about how what we did on stage really changed their minds and really opened their eyes to some other experience that they weren't aware of. And I've gotten to see people change and their hearts change and their minds change of their views of LGBT people or Hispanic people or trans people or anything like that. And to know that I've had some small hand in shaping the world a little more into what I would like it to be is just such an honor. And I'm so grateful, and I can never thank those people enough who put on those projects and who cast me in those roles.
That is awesome, Joshua. Good for you, man. And talk about some of these regional premieres. I mean, talk about some high profile work that resonate strong in our community. You're in Spring Awakening and Hit the Wall, which is all about Stonewall, which is so important.
Yeah.
Coming off of Pride Month last month. Talk about those shows.
So both of those shows were done at Water Tower Theater, which is in Addison, Texas, which is a little suburb of Dallas. So getting to, you know, go back home and go to Texas and perform these shows with this subject matter that many Texans aren't necessarily used to was just such a wonderful experience. Especially Hit the Wall. That show is so entrenched in the gay community and the experience and the start of the gay pride movement, you know. It's the Stonewall Riots. And the artistic director of Water Tower Theater, she actually directed the show. And she was such a genius because she knew that this show would be hard for a lot of her audience. You know, it's a very conservative audience. It's a lot of usually just in the theater in general, it's just a statistic that most theater goers are middle-aged to elderly white people. So to have a show that is just people of all different colors, of all different ranges of the LGBT spectrum, which is so cool. And so she was a genius in that she knew it was going to be hard for them. So she scheduled all of these community engagement events around the show. So one night we would have a talk back. One night she would bring in LGBT teens of the community and they would do a talk back. One night she brought in the author of the play and he did a talk back. So she really engaged the community of Dallas to be like, hey, I know that these things may be hard for you to watch or hard for you to understand, but we're going to present it and then we're really going to invite you to come talk to us about it because we know it's difficult, but we just want to start a conversation. And I got to witness all that summer of performing that show. I got to witness countless people being changed and like countless people just coming and being like, I actually had no idea that this was what it was like for gay people, especially at the time of Stonewall. And they were just baffled at how they had held all of these views and all of these prejudices without even knowing any of the history or how life could be for a gay person.
Right.
And it was just so wonderful. And it was just wonderful.
That's fantastic. Now let's talk about TV a little bit. You've done quite a different things on different mediums through there. And New York has really been re-energized lately. Things like Madam Secretary coming back. And
I know.
LA, Vancouver were such hubs for everything. But New York has really started to come back in television. That's got to be kind of fun. A lot of auditioning for stuff like that these days.
Yes, it has been. It has been so fun. You know, I was born and raised in the theater. I consider myself a theater person. But here lately, I've been energized myself at the film opportunities and the TV opportunities. And so, it's been a very exciting time for actors in New York to, you know, when we're not in a show, hey, maybe we can go book this film and TV gig and go shoot that to, you know, pay our rent.
Right.
So that's been so fun. And I've gotten to work on these gigs and I've gotten to see so many of my friends work on these gigs. And it's just been a blast.
Nice. So talk about the Smart Squad you worked on. That sounded really interesting to me.
Yes, that was a project I did last year. And I'm so excited about it. It's kind of like a TV series, kind of like, it's kind of hard to describe. So think of like a fun like TV series aimed at teens. And it follows four main characters, and they are all LGBT boys. And it is they go through all of these situations and things to help teach the audience, the viewers, about LGBT sexual health. And so,
wow, that's awesome.
It's really cool, and it's being incorporated in this big LGBT youth sexual education program. And it's already up and running, and I think you can go to like search Smart Squad or search like Smart Impact Program. It was all headed up by these researchers at Northwestern who were realizing that a lot of the STD and HIV infections were happening in men who have sex with men in the ages of like 15 to 22. And people were realizing there's no gay sex ed anywhere.
Right.
And so they formulated this huge educational program, and along with it is this really awesome, like basically television series that the students will get to watch as well, along with all the things that they're learning and the different lesson plans and things like that. So it's so cool. And I can't wait for more of this type of stuff to happen because I know I barely got sex ed, let alone LGBT sex ed. So, like, I can't even imagine having something like this when I was growing up.
That is definitely needed. That is very cool. So talk about what would be some of your dream roles? Anything that you're hoping that they'll bring back on Broadway, or any collabs with any writers or directors you'd like to work with while you're there?
Oh, I could talk about this forever, Scott.
I bet.
I could talk about this forever. Honestly, as like cheesy and weird as it sounds, one of my number one dream roles is to play Seymour Krelborn in Little Shop of Horrors.
Nice.
So like,
I still one of my favorite songs ever. I love it. That's awesome.
I absolutely love that show so much. I think it gets slept on so much, and I really like, I think I'm still too young. So if they can wait a little while and then do an awesome revival and make it like super dark and seedy and like really, really focus on the dark undertones of that show, I think it'd be so cool.
I love it. That is awesome. I love that. And any exciting things you're going out for now that you don't want to jinx, but you're kind of hoping comes your way?
How's
the audition going?
It's going so very well. I mean, it is summer right now, so it is slow, a little bit slow. It'll pick up more like in August and September. But there are a few things I'm waiting to hear back on. I can't talk about it, of course, as the things work.
Of course.
But there's one thing in particular that I'm really, really, really crossing my fingers for. So we'll see. You never know in this life, man.
Yeah. And then talk to me real quick, just for my listeners, as an insider in New York City, what should people who are visiting do to get a great theater experience? Is there any trade or area to visit off-Broadway? Or what's your biggest recommendation for anyone that comes from out of town that wants to hit theater? What's your best recommendations?
Yeah, my biggest recommendation is Broadway. We all love it. It's amazing. They do amazing work. But there is so much more. There is so much more to Broadway. Do your research. Try to figure out what off-Broadway or what downtown theater shows are going on at the time. There are so many awesome companies that are doing such amazing work, even with name actors or actors who you may never have heard about. And I also would say check out the Brooklyn theater scene. There's lots of crazy immersive or just avant-garde type of theater work, cabaret-ish, burlesque-ish type theater work that is happening in Brooklyn. So check out Brooklyn. My favorite show in Brooklyn is Then She Fell. It is an immersive dance-based theater piece that takes place in like an old abandoned hospital ward. It's so cool. Go see it. It's amazing.
Nice. You're going to have to be a little Tommy tour guide when I come to New York in September.
Of course. Just let me know when, and I'll set you up.
All righty. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to let Sam play us out to break here in a couple seconds. When we come back, I want to talk to you all about Sweet Husbands TV, because I love myself some sweets, and I need to find me a husband, Josh. I'm telling you this.
All right.
We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're talking to Joshua Gonzalez. You're listening to the Left of Straight Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. All righty, we are back. That was Damian Escobar with Freedom. Guys, we're talking to actor and social media food entrepreneur Joshua Gonzalez here. Josh, all my guests know I'm a huge foodie. I love that you and your husband, Matt, have created your own YouTube channel. It's called Sweet Husbands. And you guys also do these fun live Instagrams we told you about a little bit. Tell us how this mystery foodie partner in crime, you and Matt, got together and decided to do this. It's kind of fun.
It's so fun. So I, all of my life, have been like a baker, and I also have a huge sweet tooth. Matt, his whole life, has had a huge sweet tooth and has enjoyed baked goods. And so whenever people would come visit New York, they would always be like, hey, where should we go? Where should we go? And the only places me and Matt would ever give them would be like bakeries or cookie shops or cupcake shops. And so we kind of became like the go-to, like all of our friends and family knew that we were the go-to experts for all of the sweets around New York. So then we thought, hey, why don't we actually like share this with more people? Plus, we get to hang out with each other and work with each other, which we both love to do. We're really good at working with each other. And we also get to stuff our faces with sweets. And so that is how Sweet Husbands TV was born.
I love that. And I have to have insider's knowledge, because I don't think I've seen it on one of your videos yet, but I was obsessed with Newsies, and all I'd hear about is Schmackery's cookies. Are they as good as they're supposed to be?
They are better than you think. Schmackery's is and probably will always be my favorite cookie. They are so, so good. You just have to come get some when you're in town. They are so good. They all have a healthy dose of salt, which is what I love. They all have a slight salty taste to them, which is so good and a sweet.
You don't understand, Josh. I was a big guy for a long time. Still a big guy, but I've recently lost 150 pounds, and I could gain it all back.
Wow, congrats.
Spending 2 weeks. Thank you, but I think 2 weeks with you and your husband, and I would be back to it again. It's just crazy. I love everything you guys do. Now, who does all the editing and everything? Because they're fun. They're edited. They're a little fun. You have some fun stuff to it. Who has the skills? Make this happen.
So I, like, through school randomly, like one of those like weird skill classes, I had taken a video class. So like there I learned how to make all these movies and all these little clips and movies and things like that. And I had always done that. So I started out doing most of the editing and like putting it all together. And then Matt was like, hey, I actually want to do like then this and this and this and like add in some more fun ideas. And I was like, I love that. I don't know how to do that. And he figured it out. And so it's been kind of like a collaboration. But I think now I go ahead and I do like the rough editing, and then he goes in and adds in all the bells and whistles.
Nice. That's a great collab. I like that.
Yeah.
That's working together well. Now, the thing I do hate is we talk about this, and I talk about losing weight. You guys have this fantastic show about all these decadent foods, and you're both such good-looking, skinny little bitches with clear skin. I mean, you must have the best filters in the world. How the hell do you do all this? I don't understand how you can do this once a week and still look like you guys look.
Well, thank you. That is the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. that is something that we get asked a lot, and we can only tell you, like, usually on shoot days, that's like all we eat, because once you've eaten like 4 donuts, you just can't eat anything else. We also live in New York City, so luckily in New York, you're constantly walking around, you're constantly going up and down stairs, you're constantly active and standing, you know. And we also have pretty good workout regimens where we work out probably, you know, 4 to 5 times a week. Because we know as soon as we stop any physical activity or as soon as we don't work out, we would just become different people.
Become different people. I absolutely love it. Let's go ahead. I want to take a quick sneak. I kind of sewed a couple things together from your episode.
Oh, my gosh.
Sam, I want you to put Joshua and I in listen mode with you so we can listen to the clip. We're going to go ahead and play a little bit of Sweet Husbands. It's available on YouTube. They try to put together a new episode every Saturday. We'll be back on the other side in just a couple of minutes here.
Hey guys! Hi there, folks!
Hey guys!
Hola!
Hey guys! Welcome to Sweet Husbands TV. I'm Joshua.
I'm Matt.
And we are the Sweet Husbands!
Oh, you're gonna get me in trouble. I've got an addictive personality. But oh, I think I wanna see.
If you wanna make sure you're up to date on all of our sweet adventures, make sure you subscribe. We'll be posting videos every Saturday for you.
I'm ready to experience all that you're willing to give and show. Hey, let's get a little crazy and live it up, give this a try.
Okay, guys, so on today's episode, we picked one of Matt's favorite places, and that is
Donna Belle's Bake Shop.
Donna Belle's Bake Shop in Midtown Manhattan. Well, like Hell's Kitchen, West Midtown Manhattan, that area. So, Donna Belle, tell us more about it, Matt.
So, these three best friends decided to get together and create this bake shop. One of them is named after one of their mothers, and they also created a cookbook, which you may have seen in your local Barnes & Noble.
Okay, so Donna Belle is known for their
butter.
They are known for their butter because they are known as a southern baking shop. They sell, like, a lot of the baked goods that you would find down south where we're from, like cornbread and scones and big, huge buttery biscuits and things like that. So we have a sampling of a couple of those things for you today.
Yes. So my pick, which was my favorite thing there that I get every time I go, is a banana scone. And it's, first of all, it's huge.
Huge. It's as big as my face.
And it has these chunks of banana in it, which is just, like, I love it.
It's so big and fluffy and, like, just buttery. Again, they're known for their butter. It is a southern bakery. Okay,
like, on. You can taste the banana. It's so strong, but in the best way. Like, if you love banana, I mean, what do you think this glaze is on top? Is it orange or is it, like,
what?
Banana? Well, he's figuring that out. I also just love how crunchy the top is. It's like you're not getting bogged down too much by the dryness of a scone, because scones tend to be kind of dry. But the crunchiness of the glaze and the banana on top really does it for me.
So I think it may just be like a normal, like, sugar glaze. There may be some more banana flavor in there because there's so much banana flavor coming out everywhere.
So as far as the baked goods go, what is your rating, Josh?
So my rating is pretty good. I appreciate the rustic, the butter, all that jazz. I would give this four sweets. I would give this four sweets. They're very, very good, very consistent. I can definitely count on this as something great, but it's not quite the best I've had.
All right.
Oh, you're gonna get me in trouble. I've got an addictive personality. But oh, I think I wanna see just how bad you may be for me. Cause what's the point of living if you're too afraid of letting yourself go?
And we are back. You don't even know how much I love banana foods here, Joshua. Oh, my goodness. You guys do such a great job. That's fantastic, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It even made me want to go out and get a base good.
Well, the first thing we got to talk about is the theme song. Who is this handsome gay Joey Contreras, and where can I get one? That is such a cool song.
You,
I love that.
He is amazing. You definitely should check him out. You should have him on the show even. He is an amazing, amazing pop / musical theater singer, songwriter, musician. He's so cool. Check him out. I'll send you his info because he's amazing. And everyone, look up Joey Contreras. He is one of our dear friends and also just one of the coolest artists around.
Well, you are going to be my booking agent, my friend. Get him on this show. That was the title is Love Wildly, and it's from his Young Kind of Love album. I already bought the album because I thought it was so fun. He is really talented, so that's very
cool. He is so
good.
I want
to get him on the show. Let's
talk
about that now. That bakery Actually, one of the three owners is Polly Perrette, who was on NCIS, which I absolutely love. And she's such a great ally to the community and everything she's done fundraising-wise. How do you guys end up picking where you're going to go to these different places? Is it just favorites, or do you hear about it, or are you getting recommendations now?
At the beginning, it was just our favorites. We were, like, dead set on, like, showcasing our favorite places of New York and, like, that aren't like chains or that people don't know about, especially if they don't live here.
Right.
So it started out as all of our favorites. And now it's become people sending in their recommendations. They're like, oh my God, I want you to do this place. Oh my God, I want you to do this place. Oh my God, I want you to do this place. And we have a list of like 150. But we haven't, you know, it'll take time to get through them all. And also, our lives have been kind of a little bit on hold because of this apartment thing, but once we're almost done with it, and once it's done with it, lots more episodes are going to be coming your way, and we're just going to be making our way down that list. And if anyone has any suggestions, they can comment on any of the videos, leave their suggestion, and we'll be sure to check it out.
Nice. And you guys really do kind of get detail into it. I mean, you can tell you have a little experience in the department there of suites. And I love that you guys did it on a cruise ship as well. And you get little sneaky things on how you get them and everything. I mean, you really have some fun behind the scenes moments. So that's got to be kind of fun to do. And I'm sure people learn something every time. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal. To just share.
And where has been your absolute favorite? Have you had a suggestion yet that you have not heard about and that you just turned on that you absolutely loved it?
You know, actually, it was our very, very first one. Chalk NYC, we had never heard of it. We were just like walking in the Inwood neighborhood and we saw this bakery and we were like, hey, let's go check it out. And we went and we ate there, and the croissants and the chocolate croissant and the pastry work was out of this world for this bakery that is nowhere near tourist Manhattan. It's nowhere near in like downtown or any of the popular areas. And so we were definitely that. I think that was the final turning point of realizing we wanted to shout out all the amazing work in the world. We were like, no, we have to let everyone know this bakery is absolutely amazing, and to make the trip up to Inwood to have their desserts because it's so good.
That is fantastic. And there are so many great foodie destinations now. If you guys had an unlimited budget, what would be your three top destinations to go treat hunting at? Where in the world would you guys like to go? Any dream places?
Oh, gosh. I'm dying to go to Japan. I love their flavors. I love how they work in flavors that we aren't used to into their desserts. So Japan is definitely, like, the top of my list, like Tokyo or whatever. And I do want to go to Paris to visit all the French patisseries and, like, you know, get to maybe tour around where all the French pastry making started. And as for my third place, I'm not sure. It would probably be somewhere like Latino Hispanic, like maybe like deep into Mexico, so I can try like some of my heritage's authentic treats and things.
Nice.
You know,
I love that. I could see you and Matt on a bicycle built for two, little baguettes out of the bag. That would be so cool.
Yes. Dreams. I'll take that picture.
Too much fun. Have you ever thought, I mean, you guys are having fun on your own. Have you ever thought, is there anyone you might want to collab a video with? Everything in YouTube now is collabs with other people. Anything you've ever, and you do invite guests into your shows too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We definitely had, you know, some of our friends be guests on the show just so we can have like their opinion and things like that. And plus it's just fun. We just start and do it because it's so fun and we want to involve our friends in having fun. But collabs, the only people who I can think of who I would like absolutely die to have collabs with are all like my favorite pastry chefs or like people who have influenced the pastry world. Like Christina Tozzi is like one of my idols.
Right.
And I would absolutely love to have her on an episode of Sweet Husbands TV. What's his name? Zumbo.
Andre Zumbo. I forget his first name.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah, I'm
the Australian pastry chef guy who's just so amazing. Yeah, I would have him on. So I guess just like
really
giant celebrities who would never be on, I guess is what I'm saying.
Oh, God, I love it. That is so awesome. I can't believe that 45 minutes has flown by us already. We have to have Matt come on in the next show because we just need to have the two of you together. You are so cute on your own, and the two of you on your channel are just amazing to watch. Thanks for being on the Left of Straight show, my friend.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so, so much. And keep on doing the show because it's such an amazing resource, and I absolutely love it.
I appreciate it. Before you go, I want you to give everyone your where they can find you on YouTube and your social media and anything else. If we have any people that are in charge of auditions and they need an actor, where can they find you guys? Where can they find you?
For Sweet Husbands, you just go to YouTube/SweetHusbandsTV, and that's where you can find it. And you can also find everything at Sweet Husbands TV. And for me personally, all you casting directors out there, you can find me on Instagram. My handle is at Josh Wadham. That is at JOSHWADAM.
Very, very cool. Well, my friend, it's been an honor and a pleasure to have you on. We'll have to have you back real soon. Stay on the line for me. Guys, we're going to have Sam take us to a break in just a couple of seconds. When we come back, I'm going to have the hilarious Guy Branum on, host of Talk Show The Game Show, and has a brand new book coming out 1 week from today. So stick around. You're listening to the Left of Straight show right here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
I won't just survive. Oh, you will see me thrive. Can write my story. I'm beyond the archetype.
I won't just conform. No matter how you shake my core. Cause my roots, they run deep. Oh,
oh, you have so little faith.
we are back. So, guys, how does a guy go from a conservative family in Northern California who went to law school and even lobbed comedy death threats to opposing college rival Chelsea Clinton turn to one of the funniest out-and-open writers and television hosts in America? Well, I have just the guy to tell us about it. From appearing on such great shows as Chelsea Lately and Totally Biased with Kamau Bell, it's his hilarious turn on host of True TV's talk show game show that got me rolling in the aisles. Please welcome to the show for the first time, the hilarious Mr. Guy Branum. Guy, how you doing today? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. But let's be clear, I didn't lob any death threats. My statements many years ago were misinterpreted as death threats because of a poor editorial choice on the part of a journalist. But we have to read the book to find out more,
I'm sure.
I know, but I like that you're making a scandal out of things. That'll get more people paying attention. That's all I'm worried about.
There you go. You always need a little clickbait here and there. Welcome to the show, my friend. It's great to meet you. You have one of the
best laughs
in show business, by the way. I love your laugh. It is fantastic.
You're very sweet. There are times when it is truly annoying, like listening to Talk Show the Game Show during edits. It's just my laugh booming out so much, and the editors have to be like, can you cut it down a little bit? This seems like a bit much.
That's hilarious. Well, I told you off air a second. I'm a horrible radio show host. I always have this electric amnesia where I forget about guests for years at a time. And I knew I saw you on Chelsea and everyone else, but then a good friend of mine, Emerson Collins, said, I have to watch this talk show, The Game Show. And I had not seen the first two seasons, and I just became addicted, my friend. You are one of the funniest men on the planet.
Well, thanks. Emerson is a really great guy and a really great actor. Talk Show the Game Show was just an idea that I had that people should score points on talk shows for doing the kind of thing you're supposed to do on a talk show, like name dropping or plugging your projects. So I turned it into a stupid live show. We did it around LA for a couple of years. And then finally True TV was like, hey, let's turn this into a real TV show. And it's been super fun. We've had lots of great people on it. Charles Barkley, Marissa Jarrett Winoker, who are other famous people? Oh, Tiffany Haddish. Tiffany Haddish told her story about going on the Swamp Tour with Will and Jada Smith, like on my show, months before it happened on Jimmy Kimmel, but no one noticed when it was on my show. You know, it was on a part of cable no one's heard of. But, you know, it happened here
the high
first.
Side of the
That's
dial,
what people
right?
need to know. I mean, at the end of the day, isn't it always just straight people co-opting gay culture and making it look like it's theirs?
Thank you. That's what I'm screaming. Well said.
Yeah.
Let's start with a little bit. I kind of hinted to your background. Give a little bit of this. Talk about these early years. You're growing up in a conservative family in upstate California there. Talk about that. What brought law school on, and spill a little tea?
Yeah, I grew up in a tiny little farm town about an hour north of Sacramento, which is a city that you learned in fifth grade for your state capitals, but have no idea where it is. And I just wanted to get the hell out of this, like, stupid, boring, anti-intellectual farm town and just anywhere where I would be around sophisticated people. So I spent my whole life trying to just learn about the outside world, and then the minute I got a chance to go somewhere else to college, I was like, well, I didn't go that far. I just went down to Berkeley, but it was enough. but I was like still closeted and self-hating and self-doubting. So when I was done with college, my mom, who is sort of, you know, like aggressive in the Jewish way, she was like, you have to go to law school. And I was like, but maybe I don't want to go to law school. And she's like, no, you have to go to law school. So I went to law school. Then I came out of the closet and realized that this life I had planned wasn't a life I wanted. And then I started trying to figure out how to do stuff that would be more fun for me.
There you go. At least you have a good understanding of libel laws now in your comedy. You can put some use so mom's dollars aren't poorly spent.
It's very important, though. I have to tell you, ever since I finished writing this book, I am just terrified that I accidentally missed something and said something that someone will sue me about.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Well,
let's hope it isn't
you.
You've
done so much great work. Well, I like it. I like it. You gotta be a little, like we said, controversial in the beginning, and maybe it'll just bring more reviews and more people to the book. Anything that sells is a good
let's
thing,
hope.
My friend. And since we have a little bit of time today, because you are just busier and heck, you're writing all the time, you're working on all these different shows, let's do a little Reader's Digest points. Talk a second about your podcast. You have a lot of fun with Pop Rocket. How did that come about? And talk about that a bit.
So a friend of mine, Jesse Thorne, runs Podcast Network. He like heard me like spouting on about something in pop culture somewhere, and he was like, you should probably do a show where you talk about this on a regular basis. So it's me and a diverse panel of commentators. There's an academic, Karen Togson. There's a novelist, Margaret Wobbler. There's a digital media strategist, Winna Mitchell. And every week we just sort of like go over pop culture from that week. It's called Pop Rocket. And it was really influential in the book because an editor who I didn't end up working with, but who listens to my podcast, was like, you shouldn't just write a memoir. You should write a memoir where you sort of like talk about the way that pop culture and stories from pop culture influenced and guided your life. And I ended up doing that, and I think it turned into a book that was really a better reflection of my story than if I had just tried to write, you know, bad David Sedaris fanfic.
Gotcha. But that's cool, though. It's never, you never know who you're going to meet and how they're going to influence your life. That's one of the things I like best about this world is you never know where the intersections are going to lie. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And how often do you do your podcast,
really cool.
And where can they find it?
My podcast is weekly. It comes out every Friday. It's on the Maximum Fun Network. But if you go to iTunes or anywhere and you just Google Pop Rocket, it'll come up. And subscribe and get a little dose of me and the rest of the panel every week.
Nice. And then let's go on a little bit about your comedy album, Effable. We can talk about the cont in a second. I just want to know how you get these models to come join you in the pool. That's I need to do that for my podcast here. I'm jealous hell.
The thing is, gay guys traditionally haven't been that excited about gay men doing stand-up comedy. We usually prefer watching women, be they straight or gay. You know, we love Amy Schumer, we love Nikki Glaser. And I was just trying to figure out, like, how do I get gay guys to pay attention? And, you know, what I've learned from Courtney and Query or Toll Road or any of those places is that you have hot people taking their clothes off. So I just did a photo shoot. Like, I had a friend who was a really good photographer, and he got some hot guys to put on swimsuits and hang around a pool, and we just shot some stuff. And then it ended up being, you know, I think a beautiful representation of the world as it exists in my mind.
There you go.
I used the same tired strategy for the book. I posted a video of hot guys sort of grinding on each other and holding my book. And, like, I posted that to Twitter, and then I tried to promote it, and they wouldn't let me because they said it was pornographic. Because, like, gay guys in swimsuits
You're
touching
kidding.
Each other is pornography. Right. Yeah. It's
oh, my
very
God. I think that's what all the YouTubers are complaining about, that all the LGBT content for just having two guys without a shirt on is now labeled pornographic. They're getting so kind of ridiculous these days. It's not even fun.
People don't think about it, but because we don't have any gay male sexuality in mainstream films or in mainstream television, we really are sort of trained to think of it as only being pornographic. And I
right.
think it's possible for us to sort of like move along and grow up as a group as long as we're still being construed as being these sort of like disgusting transgressive things. Like we have to be able to show affection and not just like in chaste Will and Grace ways, but the way that straight people do.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah, I am of the Rubenesque type body type, so I've always had the face for radio myself, but anymore you have to add a video element to it. I'm actually going to, when I come back, I'm going for a big gay road trip from out here in Northeast Ohio to Palm Springs, California. I'm going to do live shows for 4 weeks in California in August.
And when I come back, I'm going to actually start going to a studio in Columbus, Ohio, and doing a video streaming along with the podcast. So I'm scared as hell to get my chubby little cheeks on the thing, but I'm going to try to find to surround myself with some cute guys like you did. I think that'll work.
That's really fun. I did consider when promoting this book, I was like, should I just do like shot for shot remix of Anthony from Queer Eye's Instagram? Because he's always posting photos of himself for no reason in underwear. And I'm like, I should just do the same photos and then we'll see how much attention I get. But when are you coming to Palm Springs?
That would be hilarious. Oh my God, do that. And then talk about how good of a cook you are at the same time doing those poses. I love it.
Oh, I mean, I have seriously considered doing a YouTube series where I just correct the mistakes that Anthony has made on Queer Eye. Those are, like, we could do an entire podcast just about how messed up, like, his macaroni and cheese recipe was. But when are you coming to Palm Springs?
I'm going to be in Palm Springs. Actually, I'm going to try to sneak up. I get into town on the 4th of August. And I know you're playing the 5th in L.A., so I'm going to try to sneak up that day. But I do my show live every Monday and Tuesday from the Indulge Gay Men's Clothing Optional Resort every Monday, Tuesday live for the entire month of August. So it's going to be fun.
Oh, that's awesome. Palm Springs is so much fun.
If you're in town, you should come down. I know you're going to Petaluma the second half of the month, but if you're going to be there early, drive on down. It'll be fine.
I will try to make it. I mean, look, it's a little hot in Palm Springs in August. I'm a bigger
fan
of November.
That's why I'm getting the free room for a month, guy, because it's August in Palm Springs.
But it's still a good time. Palm Springs is always a good time. When you're in the water, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. I'm going to try to do a poolside. I'm going to try to live stream it. I got fun people. I got Jason Stewart coming down and Frank DeCaro and Jim Colucci and all sorts of fun people. It's going to be a fun time had by all. So
if you're
in town the first couple weeks, I'll give you an invite.
Well, Jason Stewart and Frank DeCaro, I mean, there is this rich world of really, really great gay male stand-ups who have existed for decades that we just don't talk about, who like really didn't get the attention or love that they deserve. Those guys were both like huge heroes to me. Watching Frank DeCaro on the Daily Show back when he was on it was
sure.
So great. And I just, you know, I look forward to a time when gay men can continue to like love funny women, but can also learn to like love and enjoy stand up from other gay guys.
Exactly. And I don't know if you worked with him while you were on Fashion Police, but Tony is also coming down. Tony Tripoli, of course. He's going to be in town for
Tony,
a couple of days. So he's going to come up.
Tony is the most fun. He's delightful. How I was supposed to have a boss with an ass that big and, like, remain professional, I don't know. I don't understand.
I love it. I absolutely love it. That is so cool. Well, I will off air, I'll give you the deets, and if you can get down there before you head up to the beautiful Petaluma, California for your shows. We'll have you on down. It'll be a lot of fun.
That would be super great. I'd love to come. Yeah,
go ahead. No, I just
thought
one of the funniest things I love, because I love doing so much research on all my guests, and so I go through everything. I go through your websites. I go through all your social. And, of course, I go to Wikipedia, and my favorite part of you in Wikipedia, on your personal life, it just says, Guy Branum is openly gay, period. It's like, how are we supposed to interpret that? I was like, going to the gay bars, bell the ball at the summer pool parties, harness and ball gag at the fetish club. It's just, it's so random and so incomplete. You have to fill us in.
Well, I really think that we need to clarify this openly gay thing. I think you should have to go to West Hollywood City Hall and file some papers, just so that we know absolutely it's on the record. It is very funny that it is still placed in those terms, or that, like, as somebody who was never really closedly gay, I don't really understand it. And I get that everybody is on their own journey. I just wish it were more normal in entertainment to have people whose gayness was able to be a part of what they do the whole way through. That it didn't have to be this journey if you sneak in while you're in the closet and then you come out And people are like, all right, well, we liked him anyway, so he can stick around. And it is, you know, lovely and inspiring to see more people like Billy Eichner, who have always just been who they are and were never shying away from it, never scared of it. But yes, I try to keep my gayness as open as possible, but usually that just comes down to me forgetting to lower my blinds when I'm naked.
Oh, that is too funny. Oh, my gosh. I love that. Well, let's go ahead and move on to the book. We only have 10 minutes left because you have to get back here. My Life as a Goddess, a memoir through unpopular culture. Tell me about how this came about and how long you've been working on it.
Well, I had a friend who recommended a book editor to me. He got me talking to a book agent, and he got me talking to some editors. And the one editor I mentioned before, she was like, you need to talk about your life, but you also need to talk about the pop culture that shaped it. And sometimes the culture that I like isn't the most popular, so that's why I called the book that. But it's basically... You know, as gay men, we don't really have structures for how we're supposed to, like, think about our lives. We didn't grow up seeing other gay people in media, or that many, or when they were there, they were objects or they were jokes. And I'm also, like, right. a fat guy, and, you know, fat people are, again, usually just jokes in TV and movies and books. And so it was really me just sort of, like, trying to step by step look at the culture that was influencing me at various points in time and like how shaped things. Like I talk about, I lost my dad like 2 years ago. I talk about my relationship to my dad through his favorite movie, which was a Western called The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. I talk about moving to LA by sort of like counterposing Entourage and The Comeback as sort of like two separate visions of LA. But along the way, I am telling you stories of bad sexual decisions that I made and people who I pissed off and other human failures.
That is awesome. I can't wait to read it. I have my reserved copy at Amazon waiting to be downloaded on the 31st. I'm a little pissed the LA people are going to get to see it on the 30th at Barnes & Noble. Talk about this. I mean, you know you've made it when you're a Barnes & Noble wristband event. So talk about this little premiere you're doing on June 30th.
It's really exciting. I'm getting to do it at the Barnes & Noble in the Grove in L.A., which is – I have a story set there about this hot guy who would never pay attention to me being in front of me in line at a cafe – and me, like, being pissy and opinionated about what his conversation was, and then me being extremely wrong about the thing I was saying. And I get to tell this whole story, like, just scant feet away from where it actually happened. And that's thrilling. But everyone should pre-order My Life as a Goddess. It's coming out on July 31st, but if you pre-order it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any other sort of service like that so that you're getting it, like, mailed to you or shipped to you. Mailed. I sound 60. Like, right when it comes out. You know, that increases my sales for the first week, and that really helps with traction for the book. So, like, pre-ordering would make me very happy. But if you just get it from your library, I should just be happy if people read my book, right? That's nice enough.
There you go. Well, I have mine pre-ordered, and of course, being a combination of a cheap-ass bastard and only able to read a chapter at a time in between events, I got the Kindle version, so I can just go on my phone whenever I need to. But it is available. It's a good price. I think it's like $24.99 hardback and only $17.99 for Kindle, or $13.99 Kindle, whatever it happens to be. So I have mine going to be downloaded right away. And I'm very excited to read it because it looks like it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun.
The foreword is by Mindy Kaling, and we did an audiobook, and she actually did the audio for her foreword, which is very nice of her. And then I read the book itself. So if you would rather just sound like we're having brunch together, please consider getting the audiobook.
I love that. That's a great idea. And you had worked with Mindy before. You were part of her writing staff. I mean, you were on the show a little bit, right? Or how did you work with Mindy Project?
Well, I actually met Mindy like 8 years ago when we were in a romantic comedy together. It was called No Strings Attached, and we played the sassy friends of the main character, of Natalie Portman. So we knew each other a little bit from that, and then one day I was writing for the VMAs, and I was really hating it because I had written the same Bruno Mars intro like 7 times. And then I just got a DM from Mindy that was like, hey, do you want to come work for me? And I was like, yes. And then I like was part of her magical show for like 3 years. And there's nothing better than being part of a show that's about a glamorous lady in the city. You get a lot of cute cupcakes at a job like that.
Nice. I love it. That is so cool.
She let me play a gossipy gay nurse. And like, really, I mean, the things you need to do as a gay performer in LA is like sassy gay friend in rom-com, gossipy gay nurse. My only hope is that I can eventually play sexually ambiguous teacher who helps a young man realize that he loves poetry or drama or something like that.
I love that. Some of your titles in your IMDb is hilarious of the way they describe your characters. It is exactly that, where you have the most obscure one-line offs of what your character is supposed to be about. I think it's hilarious. Too much fun.
Also, I end up just being named characters Guy a lot, and I think that Tony Danza and I have a lot in common when it comes to that. Like, he's always just characters named Tony, and I'm always just characters named Guy. And I think that should tell you a lot about both of our acting styles.
Very down home, huh? Do you have can you play the Italian as well?
Yes, exactly. Next time I should play a Tony and he should play a Guy.
Exactly. There you go. I love that. Well, I'm so excited for this book. I wish I could get to Barnes & Noble. The Grove and Barnes & Noble is amazing. Oh, I got to tell you a quick story. When I went to L.A. last year, I came for a week and I brought the show. And I didn't do the show there, but I did have to do one show while I was in town. So I was looking, and it's a podcast, right? So I can get anywhere my computer's at. So I go to Barnes & Noble. I'm out in the balcony in Barnes & Noble at the Grove. And I'm a chubby guy. I'm not getting used to getting good-looking L.A. guys being hit on me. But because it sounded like I was an important person doing a radio show, I had this very good-looking guy come up to me and ask me what my show was all about. And then when I said I was a gay from Northeast Ohio, he took his latte and, like, beat it like a bat out of hell. But it was a pretty funny kind of experience at the Grove. I loved it. It was cool. Well, then, like I said, you are also going to be – Go ahead.
Oh, the magnificent thing about Los Angeles is we have far too many hot gay guys here. We don't know what to do with them, and they don't know what to do with themselves. So they just end up trying to hit on anybody who seems like they might be slightly important, which is good for us.
Exactly. I'll take whatever I can get, my friend. Believe me, it's kind of fun. All right, well, we got to wrap this up here in a second. I want everyone to go out and get this book. It's going to be out July 31st. Everywhere. You need to pre-order now because we need to get those book sales up. You know, the number one New York Times bestseller. You also have a couple of concert dates coming up. You're going to be in L.A. for Dynasty Typewriter at the Haywood Theater on August 5th. Talk about that. What's that about?
Yeah, I'm doing two shows to just sort of, like, launch the book. I'm doing one at Union Hall. It is August 2nd, I believe, and then I'm doing a show at Dynasty Typewriter in LA on August 5th. So people can come out, have a good time, drink, laugh, and celebrate the fact that this book is coming out and have a good time.
Yay! I love it. I'm going to try to sneak up there from Palm Springs. It'll be a good time had by all. And before I let you get out of here, give everyone real quick the name of the book again, where they can get it, and give them where they can follow you on social media, my friend.
The book is called My Life as a Goddess. It's available everywhere books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your local bookstore. And you can follow me on social media. I am at Guy Branum on every platform.
I always think you should be British with a name like Branum. I just say, Guy Branum sounds so British to me for some reason.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, my friend, It was fantastic meeting you. I'm going to try to get you up at Palm Springs where we'll spend 2 hours together with all these other people and just have a blast. Thanks for taking the time to come to the Left and Straight Show today.
That was great. Thanks for talking to me. All right, I look forward to seeing you
in
Palm
Springs. All right, well, stay on the line for me. We're going to play. Whoops, say that again. What was that?
Forward to seeing you in Palm Springs.
Yay. All right, well, stay on the line for me, guys. Guys, we're going to play out with a little music here. We'll be back in just a couple of seconds. You're listening to the Left of Straight Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you.
All righty, we are back. That was Damian Escobar with his cover of Adele's Hello. Guys, thanks so much for joining us on the Left of Straight show today. Let's bring in Sam. Sam, thanks so much for running the boards today. How are we doing, man?
It's good to be here. I'm having a good day.
Well, I appreciate your hard work, my friend. Sam, of course, is one of my two interns. We have him and Christina working hard this summer, helping me run the boards, especially when I get to Palm Springs in a couple of weeks. Appreciate you being part of the team, Sam, and talk a little bit about yourself. You're getting ready to go back to school again, huh?
I am. I'm in a – well, I attend the College of Worcester. My graduation schedule's a bit wonky, so I can't tell you if I'm a junior or a senior. I don't know. But I'll be doing my junior thesis this semester and then starting my senior one next semester and graduating fall of 2019. I'm an English major, which is very fun, just analyzing literature over and over again. but it'll lead to great things. And I very much enjoy writing and reading and all sorts of things involving text. So
nice. Well, welcome to the show, guys. Look for Sam. He'll be sending out some emails for me on occasion and helping me run the show here. Then he's got to get his happy butt together for the first start of school, probably taking a few weeks off till we can get him back on the show. But Sam, you're doing a great job today. Guys, thanks so much for listening in.
Thanks,
I want to give a big shout-out to our two guests, Joshua Gonzalez. Thanks for coming on. Be sure to check out Joshua's YouTube channel with Sweet Husbands. Lots of fun videos on there. And then Guy Branum, of course, funnier than hell, has one of the in show business. Pre-order his new book. I've already done it for the Kindle. And Confessions of a Goddess. It's going to be a great read. And I'm going to be seeing him in town next week for you, getting ready to go on that big gay road trip. But on Monday, I'm going to have a live interview with Perez Hilton, of course. Perez, known for his blog, some controversy from the blog. But he also was on the Food Network on Worst Cooks in America, Celebrity Edition, where he won. So I want to talk about some foodie stuff. And he's also written a couple books. So he'll be on next Monday, along with an author, Chris Bedell, who has a new young adult novel he just wrote. It's called In the Name of Magic. Chris is an out bisexual and a very cool guy. So we're going to be talking to him and Prez next Monday. And on Tuesday, while I'm starting my big gay road trip with Mom, we're going to have Sam here running the controls. I'm going to bring a pre-tape interview of a brand new web series that's coming out. It's called 365 Days of Love Letters. And it's the teaser is on YouTube right now. And it's going to be a great new web series featuring RJ from Instagram. And we're going to be talking to him and a couple of producers of the show. It also has some famous people you'll see as we talk about it next week. So a couple of great shows happening next week. Sam, again, thanks for a great show today. Any big plans for the rest of the week?
None for me. Just busy, busy.
All right. Well, guys, we are out of here. Be sure to follow us every week. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Left of Straight. That's LeftofStr and the number 8. On Facebook, it's the Left of Straight show page, or you can follow me personally and send a friend request over to Scott Fullerton. If you miss any episode, you can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Spreaker, or here on Blog Talk Radio, TuneIn, Stitcher, all the places you find your favorite podcast. Just type in Left of Straight Show. You'll be able to find us. And we'll be back next Monday and Tuesday at 2 o'clock Pacific, 5 o'clock Eastern Time. Sam, it's time for us to go. Lead us out. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.